Hey guys, what's up? It's Tony and Seth. Today we're going to be continuing our local legends series. I think we're up to what, Tony, now nine?
I feel like we're at eight or nine.
Eight or nine episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've had so many recently that we're kind of losing track, which is a really good thing and something you guys should be excited about as well. So on that thread, Tony, we've got now Joe Thomason.
Yes, we do. Another former Rice State Raider. Joe is another local legend that came out of the Dayton City League at Thurgood Marshall High School. As we'll find out in our interview with him today, helped lead Thurgood to a state finals appearance in 2011. And 2012, we'll talk to him a little bit about Thurgood knocking off an undefeated Luke Kennard. So a lot of different things to talk about with Joe today, including his time at Rice State. And then finalizing with his professional career.
So with that, we'll go ahead and jump in to our interview with Joe. All right, guys. So as we previously stated here, today we're sitting down with Joe Thomason, former Thurgood Marshall alum, Wright State Raider, who has now transitioned into the professional part of his career. And so we're continuing on with our local legends series. So, Joe, thanks for being with us today.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So, when we start these conversations, you know, a lot of times part of the whole local legend series thing is to get into a little bit of your time here in the area, starting out in high school. So, give us a little bit of background on your Thurgood Marshall team. You know, you guys make some really good tournament runs in your time there. So walk us through a little bit of that.
Okay, so my freshman year, I actually played. I was starting junior varsity. My freshman year, we had a lot of upperclassmen that had a lot of talent. You know, we had Juwan Stegen, Greg Gainey, D'Angelo Gates. We had Sean Robinson, Jordan Watson. You know, we had a lot of players that was older than me, so I was younger. And so my time at Thurgood as a freshman, I played junior varsity. I started and I scored a lot of points. But at the same time, I also learned from the guys that was in front of me, you know, what they was good at and what they weren't good at. And, you know, me just being a younger brother, I just picked and added to my game what I thought that each player brought. And, you know, when you're younger, you like a sponge. You just soak up all the good stuff and the bad stuff. But me, I was able to dissect the good from the bad. And that's pretty much how my career was at Thurgood Marshall. Two out of 4 years, we went to the state championship. We ended up losing both times to St. Vincent, St. Mary, my freshman year and my junior year. And after that, my senior year, played solid, had a great career, and put up a lot of accolades. Came up a little short in the tournament by losing to Cincinnati Taft, but you know, I was blessed and fortunate enough to play well enough to receive a scholarship. You know, a bunch of different scholarships.
Absolutely, and actually, I'd like to take a step back for a second. In junior year. In the state semifinals, you actually hit a game-winning shot against Toledo Rogers. You know, not a lot of players get that opportunity to not only hit a game-winning shot, but on the stage that you hit it. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, that moment, if you can remember that moment.
I remember vividly. I remember this moment. Well, actually, I got a player on my team. I got a little brother named Mark Allstar, a very great player.
Yep.
My little bro. You know, he an alpha male too on the team, and Coach drew a play up for me to get the ball, but Mark, like, he was so determined for us to win, he wanted to come up and get the ball. So me and him, we had a little conflict going on, and I just knew I wasn't gonna pass it, and I knew I had an advantage with the guy that was guarding me. So I knew when I drove to the hole, either they was gonna let me take the layup, or the guy was going to step up and I was going to throw an alley-oop to Joe Ballard like I had been doing the whole game. So, you know, it was either pick your poison. So I went to the hole. I missed the layup because I was open. I wasn't expecting to be that open, but I was able to, you know, keep my composure, tip the ball right back in, seal the deal.
There you go. That's great. Can't ask for much more in that situation, can you?
That was a great moment in my life.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you hit that basket, you know, senior year, like you mentioned, you came up a little bit short, and then throughout that whole time you're going through the recruiting process, and you actually started your collegiate career at State Fair Community College. So walk us through a little bit of what that was like for you in terms of schools that were offering, you know, what kind of went into the decision making and how you ultimately ended up at State Fair to start out.
Well, originally, my senior year of high school, I had no idea about junior college, honestly. You know, I wasn't aware of the college requirements. I was just focused on basketball. I was young, you know, I wasn't focused on that area of life yet. So it surprised me when I figured out that I was getting all these Division I scholarships, but I wasn't eligible to receive a scholarship based off my grades.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like I had the SAT score, which I did good on, but my grade point average wasn't the best. So I'm gonna say. Like I said, I had to suck it up and I had to go to junior college. I sat down with a few of my coaches and the people that, you know, helped mentor me and thought what would be best for me at that time. And with me having a son at that time, you know, I had just had my first child, my first son. So, you know, it was a lot of that played into that decision. And with me being 18 years old, you know, so I chose to go to, I took a visit to Columbus State. I didn't really like that school because it was close to home and I didn't like the fit of the basketball. I thought I could go bigger and I thought I could, you know, I wanted to play at a higher level. I knew my work. So I flew to Sedalia, Missouri. And I met my coach, Kevin Thomas, and coach Steve, John Sands. And that was one of the best moments that I ever, you know, one of the best decisions that I ever made. It was far away from home, but at the same time, it was a great opportunity for me to play basketball. You know, it was at a high level. It was a Division I junior college, where it's, you know, like a division, it's like a mini Division I, but except it's just less students and less money.
Yeah. No, certainly. And it's just, it's interesting to hear from someone who's taken that route. So, you know, then walk us through a little bit, then the transition, then, ultimately to Wright State for your final 2 years.
Well, I can't talk about Wright State without telling you about State Fair first.
Okay. Yeah.
Where made me transition into Wright State. State Fair is what made me have to really focus in and grind every day, be away from home mentally every day, just missing the family, but at the same time learning life, learning how to deal with everything and how to block out all the distractions to be a college athlete. And that's a hard thing to do. You know, a lot of people don't really realize that being a college athlete, it's a lot of more requirements on a student athlete than it is just a regular person that's going to college. So,
no, absolutely.
At State Fair, I accomplished a lot of goals. I had a lot of success there. And my sophomore year, I ended up being an All-American, and I was actually committed to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State wasn't a good fit, and that's when out of high school, I was already originally committed to Wright State University, but once I found out I couldn't go, you know, I had to go junior college. So my sophomore year at State Fair, I'm having a great year. You know, my first year, I made top 100 freshmen. You know, I was pre-ranked All-American coming into my sophomore year, and I had them expectations. At that time, my son was 2 years old, 3 years old, and I didn't didn't want to wait around anymore, you know, bullshit. I wanted to get eligible right away and play. And, you know, Coach Dowling at Wright State, Coach Moore, those was my guys, and that's what they told me they was going to help me get my my degree and play at a high level and possibly have a chance to play overseas. And, you know, I fulfilled every checklist that they had for me.
No, certainly. I mean, when you talk about setting a school mark for most assists in 2 years at State Fair, going all league twice while at State Fair, I mean that's certainly nothing to overlook whatsoever. Talk to us a little bit then about your last 2 years at Wright State, and ultimately, you know, in that final couple years of preparation before making that jump.
You said talk to you a little bit about Wright State.
Yeah.
Well, Wright State was it had its ups and its downs, like everything in life, you know. It was bitter and it was sweet, you know, because of everything that was going on at Wright State at the time. But as far as being on the basketball court, It was a tough transition, I would say, for me, because it was like I was coming from a up-tempo type of team in junior college where it's really not no structure how it is in Division One, to transferring over to a Division One where it's weights at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's mandatory study table at 7:30 in the morning. I got a 2-year-old son. I had a girlfriend at the time. You know, it was a lot going on. So that transition, I'm not going to say it was hard, but it definitely wasn't easy. You know, it was a lot of adjustments that I had to get accustomed to, not just on the basketball court, but off the court as well. But it was okay because I was close to home, you know, so it was like any time that I needed some love, I could go see my mom, or I could just go back to the city and clear my head, you know, do things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously it's always great when, you know, a local school like Wright State or Dayton can keep that local talent in the schools, you know, and try to keep them from going all over the state when possible. I'm curious as well, Joe, you know, between your time at State Fair and Wright State, you know, you played a lot of different competition, obviously playing at a high level with Division I JUCO and Division I, you know, NCAA. Who are some of the players that you had to face that were some of the toughest matchups you had? Whether that be, you know, guys that defended you or, you know, you had to defend. Talk to us a little bit about that.
And we're in junior college?
Junior college and Wright State.
Okay, in junior college, I'm just going to start off by saying my teammates were the hardest players that I ever had to guard. My teammates, you did your research, so you know that I wasn't the only All-American on my team.
Mm-hmm.
My boy Kevin Punter, you know, high-level pro right now at the highest level, I had to guard him every single day in practice. And me and him, man, we competed our asses off every day in practice. That's why we both where we are today. And then Kev, my freshman year, we had a point guard named Kenny Cherry. He's a high-level guard right now. He finished his career off at Baylor. Those two guys are at the guard positions. Having to guard them two, you know, for years, guarding Kev for 2 years and guarding Kenny for 1 year, they made me better defenders. I will say that. But other people outside of my team, I would say I played against a lot of guys with talent, man. It was a guy named, last name Page. He went to West Virginia. I can't think of his name right now. I played against Sam Cassell Jr. I played against a lot of people. I can't really think of them off the top of my head, but I got a bunch of fun matchups from Wright State. Khalil Felder, he went to the NBA. What's his name? That went to Green Bay. Last name, Kiefer Sykes.
Kiefer Sykes, yep.
You know, what's the guy's name from Valpo?
was it Alec Peters?
Alec Peters, my boy Alec Peters, my boy Andre Yates from Cleveland State, one of the hardest guards to come out of the Horizon League. So I had a bunch of matchups that was tough, but it was fun at the same time.
Most definitely. And, you know, that's what you got to love about the JUCO and, you know, even playing the NCAA Division I is you're going to see a lot of different guys on a lot of different nights.
Yes, sir.
So after you finished up your time at Wright State, obviously you were blessed enough to play professionally overseas as well as in the G League. So talk to us a little bit about we'll start off with your time in playing in Europe or overseas. Talk to us a little bit about that first, and then also share a little bit about what it's like playing in the G League.
So you want me to start off with wrapping up Wright State and jumping right into being a pro?
Yes.
That's what you asking?
Yes, sir.
To wrap up Wright State, my senior year, we lost in the championship game to Green Bay. After we beat Green Bay twice that year, I had a daughter. By the time I was a senior, I had my daughter, Andrea. Mm-hmm. So, you know, life was transitioning for me, and I was getting ready to graduate. Of course, like any other young college player or adult, you know, you want to figure out what you want to do in life. And so I knew I wanted to play ball, and I knew I had an opportunity to. So, you know, I had the numbers, and I had I feel like I had the ability to play at the next level. And, you know, obviously my game spoke for itself. A lot of different agents and different people that was professionals with professional opinions, they felt like I could play at the next level. And I went to Romania my first 2 months. I went to Romania in August in 2017, my first job, I went to Romania for 2 months. I didn't like it. I put my name in the NBA G League draft, and I got drafted in the first round.
And that was by the Clippers, correct?
No, that was by the main Red Claws, Boston's.
Okay. My apologies. And then ultimately you ended up playing with the Erie Bayhawks, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. And then from there, you know, you ended up back over in Poland for a number of years where your professional career really got going. So talk to us a little bit about Poland then.
Poland has been great to me. You know, I started at the bottom of the Polish league my first year. I started off on a low-level team, a team that was trying to climb its way up, but it was an opportunity for me to, you know, provide for my family and play the game that I love to do. So, you know, that's what I always wanted to do. That's what I always wanted to do. So that's what I did. I went out there. I played real well. My rookie year in Poland. Ended up being the best player on my team, averaging the most points, averaging the most assists on my team as a rookie. And the next year, I actually signed to Russia. I signed to a team in Russia, not knowing what I knew now, you know, just being young and naive. I signed to a bad situation, and I ended up leaving Russia and going back to Poland, playing on a team called Lublin.
Yep.
Which I had a great year. I averaged 20 points. 50 points from the 50, 40, 90 from the field. Came up just short of the playoffs. And in this last past season, I played so well last season. It's had one of the best teams in the Polish league. One of the biggest budget teams in the Polish league. They offered me to come and, you know, represent them to play at Stalemate. They're on the road to Stalemate, Poland.
Yep.
Where we wanted well, we won the championship this past season due to the coronavirus.
Yep. So ultimately, you know, that kind of brings us to current day. Talk to us a little bit about what you're up to right now in the midst of this corona stuff.
Well, right now I'm just happy to be home and just be happy to be around my family and my children. Honestly, I've never been home this early. For like the last 3-4 years, I haven't been able to be with my kids around this time. So, you know, it's pros and cons of being a pro. Well, you know, one of the pros right now is that we get to just enjoy this time and just relax and take our mind away from the game. So when we got to rejoin the game, you know, we'd be fresh and we'd be locked back in. That's how I'm approaching every day.
Absolutely. That's a great mindset for sure. And then, Joe, last thing we'll touch on here is, again, obviously you've been lucky enough to play at the Division I level, both JUCO and NCAA D1. For any players out there that are trying to follow in your footsteps and play college basketball or even make it to the professional level, what advice would you give them for preparing themselves mentally or physically to make that adjustment to that level?
I would tell them to don't follow my footsteps, you know, try to be better than me, you know, try to be better than the person that's in front of them. Don't never settle for nothing. You know, don't never let nobody give you the limitations on what you can and what you can't do, you know, in life or on the basketball court. Don't never let nobody tell you what you can or you can't do, because a lot of people will put their failures on you. And, you know, and if you don't believe in yourself or if you're not confident in your abilities, you will believe in it. So anybody out there that's trying to accomplish any type of goal, just be hungry and believe in yourself, even when things not going the best way or not going the way you want it to go right then and there. That's what I would tell you.
Don't
never settle.
That's extremely, extremely good advice, Joe. So that'll wrap up kind of what we had prepared for you today. So again, we want to thank you for taking the time out to speak with us, share your story, share your journey, and for the advice that you're giving to the kids. You know, we wish you all the best, not only in life, but in your professional career up until the day that ball stops bouncing.
Y'all need anything else from me, let me know. Keep me posted in the loop.
Absolutely. We will. Take care, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. So that was our interview with Joe Thomason. Again, want to thank him for the time that he took out to talk with us. You know, Joe talked a little bit about some blessings amidst all the chaos right now. And certainly we found ourselves lucky enough to come across guys who have some availability right now when otherwise they might not have, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's almost like a blessing and a curse, but, you know, getting to pick the different brains. But, I mean, definitely love the perspective Joe had today. Seth, I'll let you kind of start off today. What was kind of some of your takeaways from talking with him?
So my biggest takeaway from his story was how he ultimately ended up taking the JUCO route. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't get into a whole lot of it, but what he did talk about was he was so focused on the athletic side of the game that he didn't focus as much on the academic side that's required, especially during high school, which is ultimately why he had to take the JUCO route. As well as just the JUCO route itself, you know, the transition that allowed him to make in terms of lifestyle from a student athlete point of view, you know, the work that's got to go in, the effort, the time, you know, he had a son at the time. That's not an easy thing to do in any case. But ultimately when you're trying to, you know, you're trying to make your way in the world, certainly not an easy route to take. You know, he ends up ultimately coming back to Wright State, you know, has some up and downs during his time. You know, I don't know that he necessarily played up to his expectations of himself. But ultimately, he got it done enough to the point where, you know, he got some chances overseas and is really taking advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. And I think my big takeaway was, you know, he when he was picking the school that he had to go through, and obviously his, you know, if he would have loved to be at Wright State right away, right out of high school, like he said, but he had to go the JUCO route. And what I really appreciated was he understood the idea of being a good fit. You know, he obviously went on a visit or two before he chose State Fair and was able to realize that, okay, Columbus State wasn't a good fit. And I'm going to go where I fit best. And then to me, the even bigger one was being verbally committed to Oklahoma State. I mean, a lot of recruits, I think, when you look at Oklahoma State compared to Wright State, they're going to go with Oak State just because it's a Big 12 school, it's a high major school, more exposure opportunities, better chances to play professionally. But Joe obviously realized after, you know, making that decision that the best decision for him was to play at Wright State. And obviously it paid off with him being able to have a great professional career thus far after graduating. So, you know, a big thing for me is, you know, for prospects especially, don't be afraid to go for, or don't feel like you have to go with the, you know, the best school or the highest level school. Go where you will fit, where you'll be able to make an impact most. And obviously, you know, don't force any chances or don't rush into big choices like that.
Yeah. And then the last point I wanted to touch on before I forget was just his advice at the end. You know, don't follow in, you know, in his words, don't follow in my footsteps. You know, take care of your business, do what you got to do so you can end up on that level you want to be at right away. But the other piece to that was to soak it all up. Learn what you can and don't let anybody tell you can't do something. Even though he took an unconventional route at every step along his way, he soaked up not only the environment, but you know, what he was able to from his competition, from his teammates, from his coaches. You know, he even got into at the beginning his time as a freshman playing on junior varsity at a very loaded Thurgood Marshall High School at the time.
Yes.
And ultimately, you know, just that daily grind and battling between teammates throughout the years in JUCO and at Wright State is that, you know, you can learn as much from your game in practice and the everyday things that you do as you can on the court in a full game against your competition.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Great stuff for sure. So I think that's going to wrap it up here for this interview with Joe. Obviously, Seth and I have a few more local legend interviews we have coming up, but you know, I hope that you guys have enjoyed what you've heard so far. I definitely have enjoyed hearing the different journeys and perspectives that a lot of these different guys have and have gone through. And hopefully, if you're a high school prospect listening to this, you are, you know, able to, you know, use this as a learning tool.
Yep. So that'll wrap up this episode, guys. So until next time, take it easy.